you know, to add to that point, Brother Amo, you know, what was interesting is that he knew that he was actually up against a great technological advantage, because here you had chariots, and literally you didn't see that that they had any weapons. They were just him and 10,000 men. And it's interesting. I like the point that you made that I'd like to emphasize. You know, he didn't see the chariots. He didn't see the army. He went up to the mountain. So again, you see it coming back to seeing things from God's perspective. He saw it from God's perspective. And because he saw things from God's perspective, then those chariots, which was in that day a huge technology advance for him, and here all he has is his faith in God by moving forward in verse 13. And here he is. He says, you know what? That don't mean anything. God will take care of that. And you mentioned those wheels coming off. I think it's in chapter 5. You saw what happened. There was a flash flood that came up, and the chariots got stuck in the mud. So by him obeying God, you see God honoring his faith and trusting him. And he took care of Sisera and the army and those chariots by creating a flash flood out of nowhere. They were by the river. It's interesting. And the flash flood came up, and those chariots got stuck in the mud. So those chariots, that great technology, became useless. So everything in the hands of God, this was mentioned earlier, that God uses the simple things, you know, he did of men to confound the wise. And here he uses a flash flood, and those chariots became useless. But the interesting thing here, and I was thinking of that verse in Ephesians 6:10, where it says, "Be strong in the Lord," and he and Barak recognized that the energy was not in him, the strength was not in him, but the strength was in the Lord, and that's who he depended from. So, hence he went up to the mountains, and he got God's perspective first, and then from there he recognized that the battle was already won.
We have a lot of athletes here, and if you've ever been in an athletic event and you have the enemy on the ropes, what do? You've weakened him. A boxing match, you've weakened him. You're starting to plummet him. What do you do next? Guess we haven't had many folks in athletic events, huh?
For the kill.
You do what?
Go for the kill.
Go for the kill. So the enemy, the captain of the host of Jabin, his men are routed by the Lord. The chariots of iron are useless now, right? And he himself, recognizing that he is weakened tremendously, right? Remember we read the verse where it says, you're not going to look at Satan in a day and say, is this the man that made nations to tremble? I mean, Sisera is fleeing. Where is his courage now? Where's his boldness? Where's he running toward Barak and the 10,000 men of Zebulun and Naphtali? He's on the ropes. He knows, look, I need to run, because the power that is with them is greater than, how did this happen? 900 chariots. I mean, this should have been over in 10 minutes. Stuck in the mud. Failure. Now the people that we have had in bondage and enclosed, they're pursuing me. And so this big old captain of the host, right? And him being the captain means that he was really a pretty bad guy. Worse than all of the other guys that were underneath him. And he is fleeing by foot. And it says, but Barak, verse 16, pursued after the chariots and after the hosts, unto Harosheth of the nations. And all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Ehud had a dagger. Barak has the edge of the sword. And again, it's a picture type of the Word of God. The type of, or the portion, the Word of God used effectively in different situations. And here, the edge of the sword was needed. And there was not a man that was left. They pursued the enemy. You know, one of my favorite verses in the scriptures is the account with Goliath, with David and Goliath. And David, there's a verse that says he ran toward the enemy. Everyone else is back in the camp. Their knees are buckling because Goliath is so big and so great. And this little shepherd boy with five smooth stones, going in the energy of the Spirit, he sees this uncircumcised Philistine and he runs to meet the enemy. This is what Barak does, because he's running and he has the sword, the Word of God, and he runs towards the enemy. That's the only time you really want to be running and engaging the enemy. When God is before you and he has given the battle into your hands and the enemy is running from you, you want to pick up the Word of God to defeat this enemy so that he doesn't enslave you again. He routed all. Not one man stood except Sisera. But his time is coming.
Now, when you said that, Brother Tony, that he was running, you know, the scripture says, and we're talking about defeating the devil, the scripture says, and I think it's James 4, chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee. And here, just like the Lord used the Word of God, I mean, he confronted the devil, right? He says, have not the word. Says, he quoted Deuteronomy. And here, you might say that Barak is quoting the scriptures. He's using the sword. And that's how we resist the devil, because he doesn't know anything else. You've got to confront him with the Word of God. And that's the only way we're going to be able to confront him and to combat him and to defeat him, is with the Word of God itself. The scripture says in Isaiah chapter 54 that no weapon forms against us shall prosper. You know why? Because we have the ultimate weapon, the Word of God, to use against the devil himself.
Brother Carl, would you please read to us that verse, James chapter 4 and verse 7? I need you guys to just underline. I'm going to read it and make just one short comment about it. James chapter 4. Verse 7. He mentioned the second part of the verse, but I want to also bring the first part of the verse, because you cannot do the second part without the first part.
It says, submit yourselves therefore to God.
Stop right there. What is the first thing? Submit yourself therefore unto God. It is really going back again to the Word of God and obedience that we've been speaking about over and over and over again. Now read the second part.
And it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Alrighty? That's how we do it.
I think it's also important to note that we talk about using the Word of God. And I think it's important to remember that it has to be applied properly. Mm-hmm. We see that the devil himself uses scripture in his temptation of the Lord Jesus, but it wasn't used appropriately. And even Eve in the Garden of Eden, she told the serpent, you know, the Lord has said that the day that we eat of this tree, we will die. And the serpent says, you surely will not die. So, yes, we need the Word of God, but it needs to be properly applied. And I'm tempted sometimes to, you know, just pull out a concordance and look up a word that I want to, you know, learn more about and just pull one verse out. But we need discernment and we need to ask the Lord, you know, to open our eyes so that we can apply properly his word.
Okay.